Well, hello and welcome to Let's Talk Health with Dr. Mike. And I am Michael Wolfeld, staff naturopath. And of course, I do like to tout the fact, and I give credit to Dave and Amy, that as far as I know, this is the only network marketing company in creation that actually has a staff naturopath on board. And I get lots of calls and lots of emails, and I'm always available to help anyone I can, even if it's not about a product we have, even if it's just a health-related question or whatever. That's our game. And I personally have always had the philosophy, and I got it from my grandfather, that if we provide service and we do it cheerfully and with a sense of wanting to be serving other people, finances will take care of itself. And if we put finances first and everything else second, we may end up with money, but we're more than likely going to be unhappy and unhealthy. And so that's always been my philosophy, and it worked for my grandfather. He was a millionaire twice, gave it all away both times, never looked back, and he passed away at the age of 97, a happy man. So in any event, that's a little bit of introduction to where we're going tonight. Before we start with the actual topic of motivation, I want to share with you an interesting little tidbit that we have talked about before, but it really came home to roost this last weekend. We were at the Natural Products Expo in Anaheim, California. It's a four-day show, and we were actually, we had a tabletop booth on Thursday, which was an organic pavilion that we were displaying organic products. And then the next 3 days were in the convention center, and there were over 60,000 people who came to look, and there were probably 2,500 booths. I mean, it was bizarre. I've never seen anything that huge, and I've been going to this thing for years. I mean, it keeps growing, but this is the biggest it's ever been. Now, what's interesting is I think I started going to this in the mid-'80s, and in the mid-'80s, we went to this show, and I would say at least 85% of the products that you saw being displayed were things that you may not want to use them, but they had quality, and they had meaning. And today, I would say you had to pick and choose and really look carefully to find anything that was good. It's amazing how much junk and garbage is now being sold under the word of natural food products. One of the big things that's hit home, and I'm sure all of you are familiar with this because you walk into any store and you see it, is the gluten-free category. Now, first of all, I think the gluten-free category is a hoot in itself, because I don't think the problem is with gluten. I think the problem is with the fact that people's digestive system is so unfunctioning that they can't handle it. That's point number one. Point number two is it's only been the last few hundred years that people have actually eaten wheat in the form that it's now being sold, and that is isolated, bromated, bleached, and not sprouted. Years ago, before we had the ability to preserve things or refrigeration, that kind of stuff, grains were sprouted. And so, yeah, there was gluten in those grains, but the fact that they were sprouted changed the whole composition, and very rarely did people have problems with it. But what I found fascinating at looking at the various so-called gluten-free products is there were only maybe two or three companies that really had high quality in terms of organic, in terms of sprouted, in terms of no sugar, that were still decent and tasty. And it was shocking the number of gluten-free products that are being offered that contained artificial colors, artificial flavors, words that I couldn't even pronounce. And I've been around for a long time. So it gives you an idea. So it really boils down to the consumer beware. You've got to be careful what you buy. And just because it's in a natural food store does not mean it's natural, and it doesn't mean that it's good for you. So that's just a good way to look at things. Always read the labels. Now, another thing that I want to point out, and I've done this several times, but we always have new people, and I think it's crucial. One of the things that sets Purium apart from just about anything else in the marketplace, and there are many things that set us apart, but I'm going to key in on one thing, and that is we do not use additives in our products. There's no binders, there's no fillers, there are no shortcut ingredients that simply are put in to allow the manufacturing process to go quicker, smoother, more expediently, which means you save money. Okay, we do not use any of that. Now, you've probably seen words on labels of food and supplements that will say things like magnesium stearate, silicon dioxide or silica, microcrystalline cellulose or just the word cellulose or modified cellulose. Now, modified cellulose and microcrystalline cellulose are basically plastic. They're approved by the FDA. And you will find this kind of plastic in supplements. You'll find it in cookies. You'll find it in baked goods. It is incredible how often you see this. And of course, a lot of times you'll only see the word cellulose or modified cellulose. And that doesn't, you know, sound sort of okay. Well, it's not. If it says vegetable cellulose, that is okay. That means it's guar gum, acacia gum, some type of a vegetable resin. Now, we don't even use that, but at least that's from a food source. Okay. Now, what's really interesting is magnesium, the slick stuff. And what's fascinating is there are actually boxes that you can see at manufacturing plants that will have this stuff, and it will have warning signs on it. It will have skull and crossbones indicating that it is toxic. But of course, the FDA says if you use a small amount, it's okay. And in fact, if you use less than 2% of any of this junk, you don't have to list it on the label. Now, that's pretty scary. So that even goes beyond, hey, I just said a minute ago, you got to read labels. Well, you got to go more than just read labels. You got to know whose label it is. In other words, do you trust the person? Do you trust the company? There's a lot of companies in our industry that have now gone from being a mom-and-pop business to a large multinational corporation. Just a year ago, a small company that started over 30 years ago called New Chapter got bought out by Procter & Gamble. Now, of course, they did a presentation at the show, you know, trying to make people think that, oh, well, everything is fine. Well, I don't buy that. I can't buy that because by nature, a corporation's motivation is profit. Simple as that. So you really have to know who the players are. Now, I can safely say and proudly say that Purium is owned completely by Dave and Amy. And they've had some investors over the years, but no one has ever had an interest, an ownership interest. So basically, we are a small company. I'm not saying we're not dysfunctional. Everything's dysfunctional. But we are small, and we do try our best to manage keeping service first. So that's really our game and our claim to fame, I would say. Now, tonight, the topic is motivation. What do you want? Now, of course, we have had ongoing now our transformation cleanse for a couple of months, and more people are doing it, and people like it. I mean, there are people who have definite challenges doing it, and that's why they call me, and usually we can always work through it. But I am highly impressed by the sheer number of people who are willing to do this, who have never done anything like this. Some people have done lots of different cleanses, but there are lots of people that are doing this who've never done anything like this in their life. And there's lots of people who are doing this who have a lot of health problems before they start doing this. And there's also a lot of people who are doing this who are not trying to lose weight. They're doing it because they want to change their lifestyle, they want to clean out, they've got health challenges, so on and so forth. So there's lots of different reasons why people get involved in this kind of thing. But no matter what got you into Purium, or what got you to try and do this transformation, or even if you haven't done the transformation, what is inspiring you to try and improve your lifestyle? Whatever those kind of issues are, the question boils down to, really, what do we want? What is it that makes us click? Now, recently, I listened to a lecture by a man who, at the time, I think he was, actually, I listened to it on a recording, a video, and I believe he was in his 70s when he made this talk. And he's originally from Switzerland and studied with Frank Lloyd Wright in Arizona and has been involved in lecturing and spirituality and things like this for 50, 60 years now. And he basically posed the question to the audience he was talking to, which I believe was in Washington, D.C. And he said, what do you want? And then he paused and he says, I'm going to tell you what you want. In fact, I'm going to tell you what each one of you want, whether you know it or not. Of course, that gets your attention. Well, what he went on to say is, he says, all right, well, what you want is you want the elimination of all pain and suffering forever, completely. He says, that's part of what you want, but that's not all you want. The other thing you want is you want to be joyful, truly joyful from your heart. You want to be really joyful that never grows stale. In other words, happiness that is constantly changing, that is constantly metamorphizing into various different ways of experiencing joy and happiness. He says, so that's what everyone wants. And the problem is, he said, you can't get it on planet Earth. In fact, you can't get that combination anywhere in the physical universe. And then he also said, well, that's why people go to sleep. And think about it. When you go to sleep, you experience something that is quite interesting, because if you really go into deep sleep, we're not talking about having a dream, but we're talking about really deep sleep, then what happens is you are in a state of joy, actually. It's very refreshing, and you know it when you wake up. And when you have a sleep that's full of dreams, it's not quite as restful. In fact, it can be rather alarming if you have some crazy dreams or even bad dreams. So in other words, when you are in a deep state of sleep, you're not aware of your breathing. You're not even aware that you have a body. You are completely dealing with your essence. Call it spirit, call it whatever you want, but you know you're still there. You know you exist, even though you're not aware of your body. So in other words, he is saying that one way or another, every single person on this planet is attempting to find that place where you can be consciously aware, but not asleep, but yet completely rested and completely at peace. And believe it or not, that is why people meditate. Now, I'm not saying everyone needs to start meditating, although I've been doing it for 35 years, and I think doing it 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the evening, even just as a practice, is an amazing thing to do. But the point is that if you strive for a true happiness in your life that is not conditioned by where you live, who you know, it's not conditioned by relationships or jobs or anything else, but it's conditioned by what you are. In other words, just your true essence. And everyone has experienced this from time to time. Little children experience it a lot. You can watch them sleep, and all of a sudden they just start smiling. You can see this in old people sometimes who have had a decent life. And so the point is one way or another, each one of us is hungry for that space where we know everything is okay, and it's always been okay, and it will always be okay. And that is truth. And that's what we all want. So, in other words, and the reason I'm making a point of this is because, you know, I get lots of calls and lots of emails. And especially with this transformational cleanse we're doing, people will contact me and say, okay, well, you know, I've hit a wall. I'm not losing any more weight. And people will get very frustrated, and they'll get almost, you know, oh, gosh, maybe I should just go back to doing what I was doing. And so what I find is very helpful is, instead of focusing on the fact that we're not losing weight right now, is to focus on the fact of, well, what changes have you noticed in yourself? And almost invariably, when I ask that question, people start saying amazing things. Like one lady said, oh, I can run up a flight of stairs that I haven't been able to run up for like 10 years without stopping twice, and now I can go up without even catching a breath. That's significant, whether you've continued losing weight or not. Now, one of the big factors that, and this is why it ties right into this concept of truly being happy, is that a big roadblock that happens for many, many people, why it is so difficult to actually lose weight or continue to lose weight, is because it doesn't matter how much you're exercising, it doesn't matter how few calories you're consuming, it matters what your thoughts are, and it matters how much stress you're under. Because a simple fact, and medical doctors know this, stress, as we all have been told, will kill. Stress kills quicker than anything else. Stress will kill you quicker than eating at McDonald's. Why is stress so bad? Simple. When you are stressed for no real reason, and what I mean by real reason, originally the fight or flight syndrome, which we have in our genes, is designed to protect us. So that if we're being attacked by an animal or we're in some kind of danger, we can either run away from the danger or we can stand our ground and fight it out. And either way, we're using energy. And so that is a proper use of this fight or flight stress mechanism that we have. But in today's society, people have become almost addicted to the feeling of stress, because it's almost like, I've talked to people who say, well, gosh, if I don't feel stressed about something, I must not be doing something right. It's that insidious. But the problem is that because we are experiencing the stress of this fight or flight syndrome, and we're not utilizing the chemicals that are being pumped into our body to help us have more energy, more strength to do the things that we're, you know, would be expected to do when we have that kind of reaction, those toxic chemicals are now floating around in our bloodstream, and they are very, very toxic, and they're very acidic. And the only way the body can safely contain and control these kinds of toxins is by putting them into fat cells. Now, if the body has to do that ongoing, because we're just really not behaving and we're just going through stress upon stress upon stress, and we're drinking coffee because, you know, our adrenals are shot, and it's just a vicious circle, we can get to the point where so much toxin has been deposited in one place in the body that can actually be capsulized by the body just to control it and become a tumor, become like a cyst. And if we keep doing that, that will actually has the potential of becoming cancerous. And it's not becoming cancerous because cancer has invaded us. It's becoming cancer because the body has to create the cancer cells because of all the toxins. See, people think cancer is the enemy. Cancer is not the enemy. It's what we're doing that's causing cancer is the enemy. And we will have calls that are just about cancer again, but just to give you an idea. So this is why it is so crucial to really be aware of our thoughts and be aware of what it is that motivates us. What happens when we get out of bed in the morning? I mean, if we don't have a real good reason to get out of bed, we might as well stay there. And if the good reason is only to do something or enjoy something, well, it won't last. Now, there's no doubt about the fact that one of the values of the concept of network marketing is we can be of service to people and help people learn how to be healthier. And that in itself, if we're doing it for that reason and not because we're trying to make money, but we're doing it because we really care about our neighbors and we really want to help them get better, feel better, then that in itself creates happiness. Because when we're doing something for somebody else, that alone takes us out of our own body, just like deep sleep, which is just like sitting and meditating if you can really do it. Like I said, 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night. There are many different ways to get away from ego consciousness. The ego is what causes us problems. Now, I'm not saying the ego is evil. It isn't. But when the ego controls what we do, by telling us it's okay to be stressed, it's okay to be angry, you know, it's okay to do things that we know we shouldn't be doing, then it's not being a good player. But when our true self, spirit that we experience in deep sleep, that we experience when we truly help somebody else, what we experience when we meditate, that spirit, that essence of who we are, when that is who is in charge, and the ego becomes a servant to our higher self, then we have the ability to truly be happy. Because let's look at it this way. We've all known, and I tell this story lots, but it's a great story, and it taught me, and it's just really helpful. When I was in college, my then girlfriend called up and said, someone just brought by huge box of jelly donuts. Do you want some? I said, sure. So I walked a mile and a half to her house, not to see her, but to get those jelly donuts, and probably ate three or four of them, if I remember correctly. And I didn't feel good afterwards. But while I was eating them, all I could think was, okay, this is making me feel happy. But it didn't. It made me feel nervous, and then afterwards I had a stomachache. So this is what I'm talking about. It's this idea of thinking before we do, so that our motivation becomes, what can I do for my highest good? Not for the quick fix, because the quick fix usually will just leave us flat. In fact, not usually, guaranteed it will leave us flat. You know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying things, you know, like having an ice cream cone once in a while. But if you have it every single day, or if you have a quadruple scoop with all sorts of sauce on it, you're not going to feel good afterwards. But if you actually ate a small ice cream cone and you really consciously ate it and enjoyed every little bite of it without wanting more, then that's fine. But when the ice cream eats you, it's bad. And the ice cream eats you, the alcohol eats you, the coffee eats you, whatever. It's when that substance or that emotion or that pattern, whatever it might be, controls you rather than you controlling it. In other words, it's been said, for example, that a little bit of coffee is okay. And it actually, apparently it does. It has some value, especially if it's organic. But if you drink a pot of coffee, that's not okay. That's pretty toxic. So that's what we're talking about here, is if our motivation is truly about our highest good and what we as real, our real essence. In other words, what you experience when you're truly relaxed, what you experience in deep sleep, what you experience from the joy of really doing for somebody else, what you experience if you sit and try and meditate or pray for 5 minutes, that is who we really are. And that's who we want to become more and more and more while we are awake and conscious. It's that simple. And then it becomes easy to make the right choices and to be of service and to take care of ourselves. Because then we know that if we do something or eat something or consume something that is not necessarily the best, but we say, all right, well, I'm just going to have a little bit of this, and you really mean it, there's nothing wrong with that. Perfectly fine. But like I said, if a little bit doesn't work, and you have to have a lot more of it, don't have any of it. So I hope this has been helpful. I know there's a lot of information. It has been recorded, so you can go and listen to this again or share it with other people. And please feel free and call me, 800-962-5433, or askphpdoc@gmail.com. That's askphpdoc@gmail.com. And I'm always grateful when you tell me what you would like to hear on these calls, what you enjoyed, what you don't enjoy, because that's how we get better. It's as simple as that. I wish you a fine rest of the week. God bless, and bye for now.